Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And I'm happy to welcome my next guest, Jackie. I know that her story is probably similar to, you know, so many of ours. I don't know a lot about it, but I do know that she battled just like many of us do with the doctor saying, you know, you have anxiety or you're depressed or, you know, that's what's wrong with you. And so we're going to kind of take a dive into her journey, what she went through. She's gone through four Lyme doctors, right? They're hard to find, let alone four good ones, but I think she found them. And she's just had a really long journey with this, like many of us have. So I'm super excited to welcome her on the show and to have her walk us through her journey. So thank you for joining me, Jackie. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on and help others.
That's what it's all about, right? We go through this for many years and at, you know, many times during our journey, we think that we literally are crazy. We're losing our mind. Like, people don't think like we do. And it really just, a lot of it is just kind of validating the listeners out there, you know, that are struggling with this. And so that's why I do it, just to give that hope and inspiration to anyone who's listening or anyone's loved ones, you know, that may be battling with this. It is a fightable disease for sure. It's a long journey, but we just want you to have hope and know that you can reach the other side like so many of us have. So I'm happy you're there. So where do we need to start your journey? Do
you remember? Glad to share whatever.
Awesome. Do you remember when your journey started? How long back do we need to go?
It would be 20 years ago. I started, it was in 2004. And in April of that year, my mother-in-law died unexpectedly. And in September, my mother died, although she had been ill. And then my daughter went off to college in the middle of that, 6 hours away. So shortly after my daughter went to college and just before my mom passed away, I began to, I can remember the day I first felt it. I was actually in New York City with my husband and my son. And I just felt this twinge in my stomach during intermission of a show, and then I felt it later in the show, and it's what I later would realize was anxiety. And in the coming weeks, I went from being a perfectly functioning, type A, organized person to not being able to dress myself. Anxiety and depression took over my life, and everyone around me assumed it was because of the death of the three most important women in my life, and then I'd eventually get better. And although I had never experienced anxiety and depression, this felt like something different. It just came on so suddenly, and it also had physical manifestations that didn't seem what I thought were depression and anxiety. I talked to my husband about it, and he said, "Oh, you'll get better. You know, just give it some time." But as time went on, I was getting worse. And I initially went to my family doctor, and she actually had me go to a psychiatrist who gave me some medication that was supposed to make me feel better, but actually made me feel worse. Mm. And I was also assigned to a counselor and began working with him. And after a few months, it was actually 6 months later, after I had seen this new psychiatrist, he had done some testing and indicated to me that what I was experiencing was not what a normal person would experience if they're going into depression and anxiety. He did some physical tests, which showed that I had a pituitary tumor, which I never knew I had, but that was not causing my symptoms. And just to back up a second, when I went to see the psychiatrist, I was at such a low functioning level that I couldn't even fill out the questionnaire. I had to have my husband fill that out. And just prior to seeing him, my boss at my part-time job came to me, laid a hand on my shoulder and said, "Jackie, maybe you should consider taking a leave of absence," because I could sit in front of a computer and things I had done thousands of times, I couldn't even begin to find the very first step that I should take. She said, "That way you would have control over your medical leave rather than have somebody ask you to have to take the leave." So I did that also. During the treatment with the psychiatrist, he went down a list of about 25 symptoms and he had me check off any ones that I was experiencing. And I checked off about half of them. And he said, "I just gave you a checklist for neurological Lyme disease." And at that point, I thought he was the crazy one, not me. he said, and he gave me a list of Lyme-literate doctors. And he said, "Here's a list of doctors I know that are very knowledgeable about Lyme disease, especially neurological Lyme disease." He said, "I highly recommend you go see one of them." Well, wow. I was so happy to be somewhat normal because with his treatment and with treatment from actually my family doctor, I was actually sleeping better and functioning a little better in my everyday life. And I was so happy to be semi-normal and that I decided to just ride that for a couple months. And then later that year, I realized I had a low level of anxiety that had just never left me. And so I decided to go see one of the Lyme-literate doctors. I went down the list and I picked a doctor who was within 1 hour driving distance and actually at that time took insurance. And at the time that I decided to do that, my husband was a little bit resistant. Even though he had watched me go through this experience, he just wasn't sure that this was something that was actually going to pan out to be anything. But I expressed to him that I didn't want to live the way I was living then, nor did I want to go back to where we were. So I began my journey into Lyme disease with this first Lyme doctor, and he was able to diagnose me with Lyme disease, Bartonella, and Babesia, all of which were chronic and had been in my body for some time.
Wow. I want to back up so far. You know, having that emotional trauma, right? Like with you losing your loved ones and then your daughter, you know, I don't know if that made you an empty nester when she went off to college, but you know, all of those are very traumatic for us. And I truly believe that there's many of us that are literally walking around with Lyme disease in our body, but we have no symptoms, right? Because our immunity is good, our body's built up. But then as soon as we have something break it down, whether it's a physical or emotional trauma in our body, I think that's when it allows our body to kind of let Lyme take over. And it sounds like that's kind of exactly what happened to you. And I mean, that would cause anybody alone, you know, to be very depressed, so to say.
Yes, I think there was some level of depression there. And when my daughter went off to college, we still had my teenage son at home. So it impacted the entire family because he watched a mom who was functioning and very active go basically into a zombie. I mean, I couldn't make decisions. I just couldn't function. And I could see the trauma was actually to the whole family. And I am just so grateful that it didn't take me years, but actually only several months till I got to this psychiatrist. Because without him, I think he saved my life. I don't know where I'd be today without his knowledge and his expertise in neurological issues.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you're right. You're exactly right. When we go through this, it truly does affect our whole family, the whole home, right? Because something is off, something is out of whack. And so it's very traumatizing for not just us, the one going through the journey, but also our loved ones, you know, because they see us as a different person and they don't understand. And, you know, just like your husband was a little resistant to doing this Lyme treatment. It's really new. And we kind of just sometimes have to think outside the box, become curious, and then just go with our gut and dive in. And so I'm so glad that it didn't take you many, many years or decades to even discover that you had Lyme disease. And, you know, it all started with just that trauma with your family is what it really sounds like. So this counselor that you went to, so he referred you to a Lyme literate doctor, is that correct?
Yes. Well, he actually referred me to this psychiatrist in a town not too far from me, and he referred me there because he knew this psychiatrist. His background was that his wife had developed early Alzheimer's in her early 40s, and she died at age 52 from early Alzheimer's disease. So this psychiatrist basically was forced, like many Lyme literate doctors, was forced to learn more about why his wife became that way. And in the process, he learned about neurological Lyme disease and how that can affect people of all ages to become debilitated and anxiety, full of depression. So I think my counselor knew of his expertise, and that's why he sent me to this psychiatrist, who then was able to get me to a Lyme literate doctor.
Wow. Thank goodness. Right. And, you know, we get frustrated because there's not a lot of Lyme literate doctors out there, right? A lot of us have to travel far. A lot of them don't take insurance. It's just hard to find people to treat us. So, I love to hear that, you know, there are those stories out there where we do get a diagnosis sooner and we are referred to a great Lyme literate doctor. So now, how far away was this Lyme doctor from where you lived?
He was almost exactly an hour away from where I lived. And that seemed like a long drive to me at the time. But having had to deal with chronic Lyme disease now for 20 years, I know that an hour's drive is
kind of in your backyard, right?
So, yes, it seems like he was basically in my backyard, as any doctor I've gone to except one has been at least an hour drive. But he also suffered from Lyme disease, and he suffered to the point that he lost his entire practice, and mostly from neurological symptoms. He finally had a friend of his from medical school who he reached out to and said, "You've got to help me figure out what's going on." And together they discovered that the doctor I went to had Lyme disease, and he basically built his entire practice around that.
Wow. So then what did your treatment with this, because now this is going to be your first Lyme doctor, correct? Because I know you've had a few, so.
Yes, that's correct.
So what did your treatment protocol look like with this first doctor that you went to?
Well, 20 years ago, there was much different thought about Lyme disease, and he believed, and many people at that time believed, that you could get rid of Lyme disease. And the treatment started with IV antibiotics. So since he was an hour away, we had an agreement that I would get a 2-week supply of IV antibiotics from him. I would bring it home. My husband would be my IV nurse and hang up the antibiotic and put it into my IV line. And a friend of mine who's a nurse came weekly to check my bandages and clean them out and make sure that everything was still running properly. So we started with IV antibiotics, 2 different kinds of IV antibiotics. And the way he treated Lyme is he wanted to attack the Lyme first. And then we went after the Babesia, and the last one would be Bartonella. He told me it was probably going to take several years, which it did. But at that time, he felt you could get rid of Lyme disease by doing all these treatments. And at the very end, he would give me quinine, which would remove tiny cysts, which are basically now, I guess, considered biofilms, from my body, and I would be rid of the Lyme disease. But we now no longer believe that that is the case. So we started with IV antibiotics that I brought home in my car, car for 2 weeks, and we hung a nail on the wall and hung the IV antibiotic on there. My husband put it into my PIC line, and for 20 or 25 minutes every night, I would just lay on the couch and receive the IV antibiotics.
And so how did that make you feel? How did your body react to the antibiotics?
Initially, I don't know that I had any specific feeling, because when I went to see him, my main symptom was that low-level anxiety. But I, in the course of treating with the IV antibiotics, I began to feel better. I didn't realize that I felt bad until I started getting the antibiotics, and eventually my mind and my body became even clearer than they were before treatment.
It is crazy sometimes how we don't realize how bad we are, right? Like, it's almost like we get used to living that way. But then as things start to clear up, we're like, oh, well, I guess I was having problems with that. Or I guess that was off, right? Because now I'm feeling even better.
Yes, that's true. And even after the IV antibiotics were done, which is about 4 months of IV antibiotics, he then went to treating the babesia with a lot of the same drugs that are used for malaria. And then after that, he began to go after the Bartonella. And while I was treating the babesia, he said to me, sometime in the next 4 to 6 weeks, your anxiety is going to be gone. That low-level anxiety you feel is going to be gone. And I thought, oh, yeah, right. I have heard this before. But I happened to be on the phone with my sister about 6 weeks after I started treatment with the babesia. And she said, how are you feeling? And I said, oh, well, actually, my anxiety is gone. I mean, exactly the way he said would happen is what happened. That anxiety was gone after the treatment for babesia.
Wow, that's amazing. So that kind of gives you a little boost in confidence in your treating doctor, right? You can kind of pinpoint down when things were going to change.
Yes, that gave me more confidence in him. And treating with this doctor was quite an adventure, because he had Lyme symptoms and some babesia symptoms. If you would have an appointment at 11 o'clock in the morning, you often wouldn't see him till 6 or 7 o'clock at night. So I often would call and say, where is he on the schedule? And I can tell you, at one time I had an appointment and I did not see him till 11 p.m. at night. And I didn't get out of his office till 1 or 1:30 in the morning. And I had to get up and go to work the next day. So I always brought plenty of books, plenty of food and other supplies, because I never knew how long I'd have to wait to see him.
Wow. Now, is that because he was struggling with Lyme too, and so he would get behind with his patients? I mean, because that's, you know, most doctors are kind of late. They're, you know, 30 minutes late, hour late, but it sounds like you could, you know, go multiple hours until you see him. And if that was because he was, you know, doing his own struggle with Lyme, like, bless him for trying to continue on to help others while he's battling it himself.
Yes, I think there were some days especially harder for him than others. And in fact, I can remember him sitting beside me in his office one night trying to go over blood test results, and his pen would just start sliding down on the paper, and I realized he had fallen asleep. So I would have to nudge him to wake him up to finish his talk and treatment with me. So we have some very memorable moments from my treatment with that first Lyme doctor.
Wow, that is, that's incredible. And that's, you know, had to have been really hard for you, because, you know, here you feel like you're the patient and you need to take care of me, but we got to wake up your doctor. You know, that's very scary. And, but again, bless him, right, for hanging in there and trying to help others while he was battling it himself.
Yes, and unfortunately, he was in an automobile accident at one point, and he recovered fairly well, but I was on the tail end of seeing him at that point. I was only seeing him about every 2 months. And I received a notification in the mail that he passed away, and he considered it that he could not rebound from the Lyme symptoms that became active after his accident. So I was devastated to find that out about him. As crazy as our visits were, I knew he was a knowledgeable doctor who had gotten me into remission.
Wow, that is heartbreaking. So then what did you do? So you weren't quite well, right? You were still doing your treatments, and now are you on the hunt for a new Lyme doctor?
Yes, actually, before this doctor passed away, I began to do more research into Lyme doctors, and I had found one that was even closer to my home, who also took insurance, and I made an appointment with him, and I just visited him to say I kind of needed a backup doctor in case I no longer wanted to drive the hour distance, and he was perfectly okay with that, and he felt that I was in remission, so he just gave me, he said, I just want you to do one thing to keep yourself in remission, and he actually had me take teasel root extract, starting with one drop a day and then building up to 20 drops a day to keep myself in remission.
Okay. And so your first doctor got you in remission, and it was based on initially the IV antibiotics, and then you did some herbals. And then, so how long was that whole picture that took you to get into remission?
That took about 2.5 years.
Okay. So that was a long journey. And so now you've moved on to this other doctor, and he feels you're in remission, but started this teasel root. And then did you have any symptoms from that?
I didn't have any symptoms from the teasel root extract, but a few years later, I began to have some strange symptoms with my ears and my sinuses. I don't usually have upper respiratory issues. And I had them checked out by an ENT, and everything seemed fine. And I began to experience more fatigue than I usually do. So I told him, I think one of my, either my Lyme or one of my co-infections might be active again. So he had me come in, and we did some tests with a laboratory. It was MDL, Medical Diagnostics Laboratory, and we found out that my Lyme and my Bartonella were active again.
That's not ever easy to hear, right? So my question is, do you recall the couple of years that you were in remission? Did you have any additional life-altering events happen? Anything that caused you, you know, that emotional trauma, which kind of started things from the get-go that you can recall?
No, I can't recall anything. There were, both of my children were off to college and doing well. I was working in a full-time job, which I really loved, and I could not recall a specific trigger that would have brought this on.
All right. So then what was his game plan for you?
So he thought the best thing to do would be to go on a combination of antibiotics. We did a combination. I've been on many combinations, so I think the one he started me on was azithromycin and ceferoxine or ceftin. And in addition to that, he had me continue the teasel root extract, and had me on a very strong probiotic so that my GI tract would not suffer as a result of the antibiotics.
Okay, which is good, because most people that do go the antibiotic route, that's sometimes we can do more damage to our gut than we really expect is going to happen. So that's good.
Yes, surprisingly, I had no problems with my GI tract, and I have ulcerative colitis diagnosed many years ago, and I still had no problems with the antibiotics. And this doctor was just, he was just full of joy. I would walk into his office and he would say, "How you doing, Jackie? What's going on?" And he could usually tell by looking at me if things were going better or things were worse. But we always had a great ability to communicate with one another. And the other thing compared to my first Lyme doctor is he was always on time, and he rarely had to spend more than 15 minutes with me to know what was going on. So it was a completely different experience visiting him.
Wow, yeah, it sounds like it for sure. That is crazy how I just think that it's, we really need to resonate with our doctor, right? And like you said, when he sees your face, he can kind of tell, oh, she's, you know, doing really good or she's having a bad day. So it is very interesting to see the two totally different styles in doctors, right? But it also sounds like your second doctor that we're talking about also didn't battle Lyme. So I guess he had that in his favor.
Well, actually, this doctor did battle Lyme. He had it drained and was out golfing with a friend who was an orthopedic doctor. And he was talking to him about it. And he said, oh, you should be fine. But a week later, his knee got swollen again. And they tested the fluid that they took out of the knee. And it did have Lyme disease in it, the Borrelia. So that's how he became involved with Lyme disease, and his practice was taken over by Lyme disease. He also treated many people in the Amish and Mennonite community. So his fee structure was actually very reasonable. And I think his joy came from the fact we both are Christians, and I would pray about a lot of things before I did treatments to try and determine, is this the right path for me? And he and I both, I think, have that joy and perseverance through that.
Yes, I love that. I think God was, well, I know God was a huge part of my journey, but I think he is for a lot of us, right? Like, it's kind of what we hang on to, we turn to. And I know sometimes we even have that kind of love-hate relationship with them during the journey. At least I did. And I know a lot of people that have kind of felt that way as well. So, wow, this is crazy. So you've got two Lyme literate doctors, and both of them dealt with Lyme. So that's kind of good, right? Like, it really gives you that confidence that, okay, so they know about this because they actually lived it.
Yes, I could see both of them struggled with it in many ways, but still had a good attitude. We're still helping patients. And yes, I had a lot of confidence in both of them. This latest bout that I had in treating the Lyme and Bartonella with my second Lyme doctor only lasted about 2 years. And then I went in remission. Same thing. I told him I felt like my fatigue and joint aches and headaches, some of the brain fog I had seemed to lift. So he did some testing and he found out I was in remission again. And that was great news. So we just continued with the teasel root extract and to keep me in remission. And I went on my merry way. I hoped for many years, but that wasn't the case.
Gosh, you just couldn't catch a break, could you? Your limit was a couple of years, it sounded like. So the second doctor, did you just do the IV antibiotics or did you have another protocol as well?
With this second doctor, I did oral antibiotics and we did some supplements. I'm not sure if I'm going to remember them all, but we did a good probiotic. I did the teasel root extract. And I was definitely doing several things for detoxing. I did some Epsom salt baths, especially when I would have a Herxheimer reaction. My Herx reaction seemed to last about 3 days. And for me, it would just be intense joint pain and aches all over, fatigue where I could not even get off the couch or out of bed. And I would intensify my treatment. And that's when I would do my Epsom salt baths. I would drink lemon water. I would do some dry brushing of my skin and try everything to try and reduce the symptoms and get myself feeling back to a normal state during treatment.
All right. So second doctor now a couple more years. And how did you know things were coming back? Did you have kind of the same thing, that low level anxiety reappear?
No, interestingly enough, that low level of anxiety has never reappeared. Sometimes for just short bursts for a day or two, but usually there was a reason for it. But what came back is just the feeling of intense joint, muscle, and body aches, sometimes headaches with it, and usually just fatigue, just overwhelming fatigue that I could not function. That's when I knew that I was having to go back to treatment. So I believe at this point we were in 2018, and he redid some blood tests for me to see what infections were active, and Bartonella was active again. I think that was the only thing that was active at that time. So we began treating the Bartonella. And the good thing with this doctor is we could discuss new therapies that were being tried, many things that Dr. Horowitz was beginning to try with his patients, the dapsone treatment. We discussed all those and we tried all those, but I could not tolerate either one of those treatments. He even got me a very low compounded dose of the dapsone to try when I couldn't tolerate the higher treatments, and I couldn't even take those. I began to get ringing in my ears and my eyesight began to blur. So we stopped that treatment very quickly. And we just went back to combination antibiotics along with some supplements to treat for some of the other symptoms I was having. So this treatment was going well, but it seemed to be lasting a lot longer.
So I know we have been struggling with some internet connections here. So can you repeat what they initially tried with you, the dapsone, and then what else?
The dapsone and the disulfiram, which is a medication that's often used for, alcoholics, but I couldn't tolerate either one of those treatments.
Okay. So it kind of sounds like antibiotics and a few herbals in there is kind of what was your ticket for the most part.
Yes, that was the ticket. And I, interestingly, have never had any problems with antibiotics from a standpoint of my GI tract, which is amazing. I think God has been watching over me during that time. But a couple years into this round of treatment, I discovered actually on Facebook that the doctor who was treating me had gone into the hospital a few days for treatment for pneumonia, and he was doing very well, but on the day he was scheduled to be discharged, he had a blood clot that went to his lungs and he died instantly, and myself and many other people were left without a great Lyme doctor.
Wow, Jackie. I mean, what are the odds? Three doctors now? That's crazy. How sad and disheartening for you, I'm sure.
Yes, that was devastating. I had put so much confidence in that doctor and so enjoyed being with him as well as being treated by him. And I had no idea where I was going to go. I really hadn't bothered to look anywhere else because he was such a good doctor and I felt like I would be with him for a long time. And he said he didn't have any plans to retire. So yes, that was very devastating.
Wow, absolutely. Yes, that is just, you know, but it just goes to show that when it's time to, you know, find another Lyme doctor, there's always one around the corner, right? Like if you, you know, hopefully I can say, you know, your Lyme doctor isn't passing away, but, you know, if you're a listener out there and you are not either resonating with your doctor or not seeing the improvements over time, right? Like it doesn't happen overnight. You've got to give it some time for the protocol to work. If you're not resonating, you're not seeing changes, definitely seek out another doctor, right? They are out there. Sometimes we feel really stuck with the ones that we have or the ones that may take insurance or ones that live close enough that we can do a commute to them. I know that there's a lot of factors, you know, that play into choosing our doctors, but just know that if there's something that's off, something that's not working, search out for another one. Because as you can hear from Jackie, you know, she's had to do this multiple times and each time it seems to be better and better, right? Like she finds another one that she really resonates with and that works for her. So just know that you're not stuck with the doctor that you're with if it's not working out for you. All right, Jackie, so now where do we go from here?
So that was 2022 when that happened. And I am in several Lyme support groups on Facebook And I saw other people who had this same doctor searching for other doctors. And I would private message them and ask them, did they find somebody? Who did they find? Do they like them? And through multiple postings and messages, I became aware of a doctor, a female doctor in New Jersey, who took Medicare for her visits. And I thought I would give that a try. She was a great doctor. I only went to her for a little less than a year because the drive was 2.5 hours each way, plus the visit. So it was an all-day commitment. And in the interim, I became the volunteer position for PA Lyme Resource Network. I became their referral coordinator, which is the person that people will send an email to looking for a Lyme literate practitioner in Pennsylvania or several surrounding states. So I had a list of vetted Lyme practitioners, and I actually selected one of those from the list, again, who is an hour away. And that is who I'm currently seeing and who I believe is helping me in remission.
Oh, that's wonderful. So anybody in the Pennsylvania area that needs a doctor referral, they can reach out to you and you can share them?
Yes, actually, if you go to the website, it's palyme.org. And under resources, one of the resources is find a Lyme doctor. If you click on that, you put in your name, your town, your zip code, then I will receive that email and I will give you 3 to 4 practitioners as close as possible to your physical address.
That's fantastic. What a great resource to have and to share with the listeners. Thank you for that. All right. So how's it going with this last practitioner that you had? Same type of treatment or did she try something different?
She did some different things. The treatment of the first thing she did was do a blood test to see when infections were active. So this would have been in August of 2023. And at that time, Bartonella and Babesia were active. So again, we used a combination of antibiotics and supplements. But in addition to that, she told me that my protocol looked pretty good and that she wanted to look at some other systems in my body to see if there were some deficiencies or things in those systems that might be preventing me from getting well. So she tested my neurotransmitters with a neuro test using urine. She tested my adrenal and hormones using saliva, and she checked my GI system using stool samples. And the results of those tests did show some deficiencies, which she treated with supplements.
All right. So it sounds like that may have been hopefully your final ticket, right? Because there's something that's kicking you out of remission every couple of years, right? So we got to kind of get to the root of the problem. What else is going on in our body? What is weakening? What is our weakest link, so to say? And so maybe these tests that she ran, she'd picked up on a couple of things that maybe we needed to support your body with.
Yes, I think that might have been the key. I am now in remission as of July of this year. I am in remission from all the co-infections plus the Lyme disease. And she has me continuing to take some of the supplements to keep myself in remission. And we continue to visit about every 2 months. And if I have any symptoms in between, I send her a message and we try and determine if there's something else that needs to be tested. But I feel very confident that looking at some of these other systems that had deficiencies was part of what put me over the top to get into remission. And it's one of the reasons I feel very strongly about having a Lyme literate practitioner, whether it's a holistic practitioner or a medical doctor, a functional medical doctor. They can see things that you can't. They have access to tests that you may not think of. And I know not everyone feels they can afford to see a Lyme literate doctor, as many don't take insurance, but I would recommend strongly that you search far and wide to try and find a practitioner you're comfortable with who can treat you.
Yes, I think so too, because it does. I think that that might be your ticket, is just kind of digging a little bit deeper into our body, right? And figuring out what else is out of balance. And so I'm thankful that she did, because I do. I'm with you. I think that this was your final ticket, right? You're going to sail free now into that remission world and stay there.
That is my hope. And that is the hope I want to give to anybody listening, that if you're bedbound, if you've been fighting this disease for many years and not getting anywhere, I want you to just keep going. It's just get through the next hour or get through the next day. Don't think 6 months ahead. And if possible, find a practitioner who can help you. Or, you know, I'm glad to have people reach out to me. I know practitioners in other states as well, and would be glad to try and give them a hand up. And the other thing I've done to try and give hope, because I struggle with two other chronic illnesses as well, is I started a blog many years ago. It's called Hope Through Chronic Illness. And in there, I try and write posts that will give people hope as they're battling these chronic illnesses.
Oh, I love that. And thank you for sharing. We do. We truly need just to, you know, all rally together and just come out and share all of these resources that we have, right? You know, and that's why I do the podcast. We just want to give hope and inspiration. And I'm telling you what, listeners, if you didn't find a little bit of resilience in this story with Jackie, I don't know what to tell you. You know, she's gone through how many Lyme doctors and had to continue to search. And I think she finally found the ticket and, you know, trusted this doctor. They dug a little deeper, got to the root of the problem. And here we are having her share her success story. And Jackie, wow, what a story. Like, that is, you were definitely determined to beat this, right? Whether your doctors, you know, sadly, you know, left against their choice. But then you found another one and just kept digging deep and getting well. And I'm so, so happy for you.
Thank you. I am very happy and grateful as well. And although I'm in remission, I feel I need to give back to so many people that have helped me through this journey, which is why I do the referral work and write in my blog and share on podcasts like this. And I also search different Lyme support groups. And if I feel I can give hope or an answer, I try and do that as well, because sometimes that's all people need. They don't necessarily need the answer or the supplement. They just need to hear from somebody who's made it or is making it. And just something, just a little string of hope is all they need to hang on to get through the next day or to try something new. And I think we who are in remission have that responsibility to give that hope.
Love it. We absolutely do. And you're right. I totally feel that we just need, you know, whether it's validation or hope or inspiration, we need something to grasp onto, right? So that we don't float off alone. We have a wonderful community in the Lyme community. It's one of the most amazing and strongest communities I've ever been a part of. And so I appreciate you, Jackie, and I appreciate all the ones that, you know, have beat this and come back to give hope to those that are still battling. So I appreciate what you do in the community. I appreciate you sharing your journey with me. And I just pray that this is your ticket and you are golden from here on out. Thank you so, so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on your podcast. And I appreciate all you're doing as well, Tanya.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.